more.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Tomorrow, it is the November general election. We've been talking about this for months. Candidates of all parties and for all offices have been out running for months. Ballot measures to be voted on locally, regionally, statewide. A lot going on, and we're going to cover one more candidate interview today, Democratic candidate for governor. We've talked to her before. Tina Kotek back on. Tina, thanks for being on today.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for having me back.
So a day away, polling looks like it's a close race. How does it feel to you?
Yeah, well, we always knew that this was going to be close, and election day is here. But before I jump in, I just want to say thank you for covering the elections. You know, this is a consequential election. Every election year is important, but I just think there's so much going on. So I really have appreciated everything you're doing to keep your listeners informed. How I'm feeling, we are doing everything we can to reach as many voters as possible. We knew this was going to be tight. Look, there's going to be a new governor. Everyone's running really hard, good races, trying to connect with people. And I feel like we're doing what we need to do. We have lots of volunteers out there knocking on doors, talking to their neighbors, saying, look, here's what's at stake. Please remember to vote. You know, that's the way you get your voice heard. Voting is absolutely central to our democracy, and I'm inspired by everybody who's doing the hard work. I've been talking to a lot of people, and what I've heard from voters is they want things to get fixed. They want to move forward. I feel like I'm, you know, offering something of, you know, values-wise, where people are agreeing with me. They want things to get fixed, and I just have been so privileged to have these conversations month after month. And, you know, tomorrow's the day, so people got to get out there and, you know, fill out that ballot, get it in.
Well, you know, over the weekend, monitoring all three of the major campaigns, clearly all of you are working pretty much around the clock, have people out there doing a lot of different things. As you take a look at this race, what are the top issues that drive your run to be governor?
They are similar issues around the state. Housing, homelessness, people living on the streets, top of mind issue, talking a lot about mental health and addiction, people worried about their friends, their family members not being able to get the health care they need to get better, you know, overall cost of living, inflation issues. Those are the top three things that I'm hearing directly from voters. And, you know, when they bring up those issues, I say, look, I've stood with working families in 20 plus years of public service. We need to take care of folks who are working hard, playing by the rules, trying to make ends meet. And as the next governor, going to make sure we can help people get off the streets, make sure there's more housing that's affordable for people. And when it comes to mental health and addiction, people need the help. And right now we're not doing a good enough job making sure people get the help they need. And my job as governor is to solve problems with people in their communities on those top issues.
A lot of the aspects of crime and homelessness seem to be kind of intermingled. And as you look ahead, what would you do differently than the current governor to address crime and homelessness?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's making it a priority. One of the things that I've seen in the last couple of years is Governor Brown did not make homelessness a priority. And in fact, in 2020, almost 3 years ago, I called for a homelessness state of emergency. I came into that session with a real plan on how to fix it. Governor Brown just really didn't pay attention. And then, unfortunately, Christine Drazen, you know, walked off the job. The session fell apart. We didn't get that job done. And for me, it's on day one saying this is an urgent issue. When people are unhoused, it affects everybody. It affects crime. It affects, you know, you live in, you know, right next door in a house or an apartment when someone's on the streets. We have to get people connected with services, get them in the shelters, and get them in the housing. That is how we're all going to be safer and healthier. But also, you know, we also have to do the things we need to do to keep our community safe, making sure our police are funded, making sure, you know, in rural communities, that's making sure the state police have the resources they need to help the local sheriffs. You know, we have to go after those drug cartels that are bringing drugs into our community. So there is a lot that we can do proactively to reduce crime, reduce addiction, as well as making sure people get the services and the help they need.
And mental health treatment ties in with that. Do you feel like more funding, more help is needed in the whole area of mental health?
I do. I think many of us have seen the numbers where we are listed at the bottom of the list nationally for states who are providing the services for people who are struggling with a mental illness. For me, it is healthcare. Mental health treatment is healthcare. Even if you have insurance in our state, you have trouble getting that care, whether you're in Roseburg or Portland. And that has to do with insurance companies not paying enough. It's also about not having the workforce we need. It's about not having the certain types of treatment we need. If, you know, you're ready to get sober and you need to go into a 60-day program, is there a program available in your community? That level of detail across the state has to be the focus over the next year. It's money, but it's not just money. It's about making it a priority. It's saying, like, we need these services in communities around the state. And I think many folks know by now that my wife's a social worker. We talk about these things. What does it mean to get people the help they need, even if they have the money, right? This isn't just about money. This is about making sure we have the workforce and the treatment providers available.
And how do you feel like the last 2 years coming through a pandemic, it obviously had big impacts on mental health across all circles?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've all been through a lot. It's been tough, traumatizing. I think we still really haven't dealt with what it's meant for all of our emotional states of mind, particularly for our young people in our schools right now. You know, we're back to some level of normal. We're back in our schools. We have to make sure young people have the mental health supports they need. Fortunately, back in 2019, we passed the Student Success Act. I worked really hard to bring more money into our schools, $1 billion more per year. That money's there now. Districts have access to additional resources to make sure there are additional counselors and school nurses providing those things in schools. Because I talk to teens who are working on my campaign. That's the number one thing they talk about. They talk about how hard this has been emotionally being in the pandemic. They talk about needing access to like group therapy and just talking to someone who can help them work through it. And it's been hard on parents, you know, God bless the parents, right? They've had a hard time. I think we're all needing that extra bit of help. And then there's some folks who just have more serious issues that in the pandemic, they just weren't getting what they needed because they couldn't get in to see their regular providers. They couldn't go to their support groups. I think there's no other way to say it that we have an epidemic and a challenge on our hands around mental health and addiction. And as governor, it's a top priority for me. I don't want people to be hurting. We can't let people down. We have to make sure there's more health care out there for people.
Some people would point to relaxing laws on drugs in Oregon as being part of this as well. Do you feel like that legal change has turned out differently than maybe some people were expecting?
Well, voters approved Measure 110 a couple years ago, right? That would have been, 2020. And they said, look, we want to make sure we do something smarter than just sending people to jail and cycling them through jail, right? People need treatment if they have an addiction issue. It has not worked as well as it could. And frankly, as governor, making sure we follow through on the promises that were made when people voted for that. What do we do differently? It took 9 months for money to move out from the state to the providers. I've been constantly frustrated with the lack of focus from Governor Brown and her administration about making sure that money's getting out to communities. It's finally out there, but we have to make sure it's providing more treatment. I think when people are connected with law enforcement because they might be using, making sure there's a tighter connection to connect those folks to services and treatment that is available. But I also want to say and remind people, it is still illegal to sell these drugs. It is illegal to manufacture these drugs. And that's why it is important as the next governor to work with the federal government to talk about reducing the amount of these drugs on the streets, the meth, the fentanyl, These are serious drugs. People are dying. And it's just frankly too easy to get those drugs as well. So you got to help on the front end and the back end to make sure we can reduce the epidemic we're facing.
Do you think maybe there's a need to look at that legislation from 2 years ago again and make some adjustments?
I am open to adjustments because I think nothing's ever perfect when, you know, you put something in place. But I disagree with my opponents who just want to scratch the whole thing, send it back to voters. Look, we've got to dig in, make things work, get people the help they need. If we need to tweak some things here and there, let's do it. But let's not lose sight of the goal, which is getting people the help they need, getting people into recovery, making it easier when they are ready to make that decision to get sober, you know, stop using. That treatment has to be available. It has to be in their community. It has to be affordable because this is an illness, and we have to make sure we're helping people get into recovery. So it is going to take all of us working together to make that happen. And, you know, I never say never to any kind of conversation, but what I hear from voters is we pass this thing, make it work. As governor, I got to make it work.
Let's talk back in the area of crime and one of the impacts of it, particularly in Portland, but certainly other places as well, on businesses who say they're frustrated with crime and just decide to close up their doors, or in some cases for larger businesses, leave and go to other cities or other states. How do you address that?
Oh, I'm frustrated with them. I've met particularly our small business owners, right, who, you know, you have people who this is their entire life. They've put their soul into their businesses and, you know, their windows keep getting broken. It's unacceptable. We need to make sure our law enforcement can show up. If that's additional resources, let's do it. I also think the state can speed up the process for certifying new officers. The state provides the training and certification for new officers. We have to make sure there's enough classes available that people who want to be officers can get in there. Portland has a lack of officers right now. But I've talked to small business owners, and it's pretty simple. We need you to help us when a window gets broken, help us get that window, you know, fixed, get people back to downtown Portland and to other large cities, making sure they're in the downtown areas, working on a regular basis, clean, you know, help clean up the trash, right? How a city feels, how a neighborhood feels also, you know, adds to the sense of safety and reduces crime. There's a lot of different things we can be doing. And I also think it's important to make sure that people who, by law right now, shouldn't have access to firearms, like people who have been convicted of domestic abuse and other folks, should also not have access to those guns. And I think that's a big issue up in Portland.
You know, it was interesting in the past couple of weeks, I guess it was, somebody that I know up in North Portland walked out the door in the morning and the rear windshield for their vehicle had been shattered. Nothing had been stolen. There wasn't any other damage. The car was fine other than that. But when you walk out the door and go to work and suddenly you're faced with that, it was really interesting to sort of walk alongside their level of frustration from that whole situation and wonder, you know, why so much of that is going on.
Yeah, that's, and I have neighbors and friends who have experienced that. When we hear about, you know, people getting 60 cars getting their tires slashed in an evening, that level of vandalism and property crime, those are impacts that, you know, makes everyone angry and it'll just impacts their day. We got to stop that. I will be having very hard conversations with Mayor Wheeler about what we're doing on police response. It also means increasing neighborhood safety practices. It's not just about the police, but like, how do we make it so people do feel safer, that type of, you know, crime and vandalism is reduced, because that kind of daily impact on people's lives is completely unacceptable. And because in some ways, that's the stuff that really just pisses you off after a while, right? And that has to be fixed. Mayor Wheeler and I are going to be spending a lot more time together. Police response is a local issue, but as governor, Portland has to work better. Our major metropolitan area, which is the gateway to our, you know, our state for many people, for tourism, for business, has to be working better. Has to look better, has to feel better, has to actually be safer. And that is going to be a role of the governor. I think that is the lane of the governor when you're talking about a city the size of Portland.
Let's talk about Oregon government in general, looking at the business community differently. A lot of people kind of questioning things when Intel decided to put a new plant in another state. you know, things like that. Do you think that should have been addressed differently, or more assistance available to help a company that big put another plant in Oregon instead of going somewhere else?
Well, I definitely want to make sure companies like Intel not only come here, but grow here. You know, Intel, it continues to be committed to their research function here, and they are continuing to grow. But yeah, we didn't get that big plant. Now, we are focusing now on a set of recommendations that will improve the workforce, improve initial incentives to help companies grow and or relocate to Oregon. I think we are competitive in that we already have a lot of advanced manufacturing all over the state. How do we attract people? We have low utility costs here. There are a lot of reasons people would, you know, build plants in Oregon, but you have to be strategic about it. And, you know, frankly, Governor Brown's administration was not on top of it, and Intel took their, you know, company to a different state. We have to not let that happen again. There's new money coming from the federal government with the CHIPS Act and the Infrastructure Act, where we'll have additional resources to provide the sites and the infrastructure that companies need. I also want to say it's not just about the metro area. And I think I will share the concern of some of legislators right now who, how do we bring manufacturers to other parts of the state, not just the metro area where Intel is obviously based, but advanced manufacturing should be an option for other places in our state. And that kind of focus, so there is economic prosperity in all parts of the state, is going to be important to me. That's why focusing on, this is not so much for advanced manufacturing, but making sure every part of the state has access to high-speed internet, because people can relocate to other parts of the state if they have that basic infrastructure of high-speed internet. But if you're in a community that doesn't have that, you're not going to get workers to move there. You're not going to get new businesses starting, smaller, mid-sized businesses. So we have to have that kind of targeted outreach and economic development across the state, because when the entire state is successful, it is good for everybody, not just the metro area.
Aside from policy opinions and ideas there, talk about leadership style. How would you lead the legislature, work with them, and does your experience being in the legislature, would that help you with that?
Well, certainly after, you know, 9 years as Speaker of the House, understand the legislative process, have a lot of respect for it. And my primary focus will be the executive branch, making sure that our state agencies are customer service oriented, that they are providing efficient and effective services to Oregonians, whether it's the DMV or your permit from the DEQ. We need to make sure state government is functioning in a way that people get their issues resolved and get the services they need. I also think it's important to make sure that the money that's in our systems now, whether it's mental health or public education, that the dollars that people have put in to state government are providing the outcomes we want. So particularly focusing on our schools, there's more money in our schools from the Student Success Act. Are we seeing increased graduation rates? Are we seeing fully funding of career and technical education across the state? So my focus is definitely going to be on performance, producing results on the executive side, in the state agencies, and working with local government to help them be successful. It's not just about Salem. It's about how is Douglas County Commission, what do they need? What's the city of Roseburg need? Those kind of conversations, and what is the relationship between local city and county government with the state? That is how we're going to be successful. And I think those things have been, you know, not as successful as they could be over the last couple of years. We have to improve those relationships. And so my job is externally to the rest of the state, the legislature. I'm going to obviously be watching what they're doing. We got to pass good budgets, but really it's about the rest of the state and what they need.
What about the stalemate? It seems like we've had between the parties in the legislature. It seems oftentimes that Democrats are on one side, Republicans are on another. How do you get people to the table to work together more, and how do you lead all sides?
No, that's a great question. Look, you know, you're going to have differences. That's the political process. However, there are a lot of issues that aren't partisan in a political sense. We all want housing. We all want to make sure our homeless neighbors are off the streets. Let's start with those things we know are the top priorities. That's where I think you break down those barriers. It's like, let's sit down together, preferably over a cup of coffee, and talk out these things. It's like, okay, City of Roseburg, I'm so glad that we've been able to be a partner. You have a new shelter named after Gary Leaf. okay, now what's happening? What else do you need? What can we be doing different at the state to help you serve your homeless neighbors? Need more help with housing? What do you need from us? Here's what we expect as a state. What do you need from us? Let's try to figure it out. I think that's how you break down partisan barriers. There's divide out there. There certainly is. But, you know, the one thing that I think makes people happier and more willing to work together is if you find a topic we agree on, come up with solutions and get some stuff done. If people see progress and there's success working together, that's going to bring more success down the road. And that's just how I'm going to approach it. It's like, let's start making progress together on those key issues, because that's what all of the state needs us to do.
If you are elected tomorrow and took office in January, what are some of the things you do in your first month?
The first month is going to be key. You're setting the tone. It is declaring that homelessness state of emergency, which brings up prioritization through all of the state and with local government about we're going to put everything we have at helping people get off the street, get them into shelter, get them into permanent housing. Talking about the long-term issue of more housing needed across the state. So housing and homelessness, top of mind. Mental health and addiction, we're going to have a very urgent assessment of where are we, how's the money being spent, where are the gaps in service, what do people need. So those two issues early on are going to be a big focus. And, you know, weather permitting, my hope is to be on the road, sitting down in communities across the state, talking about these two key issues, talking about solutions, figuring out what it takes to get it done. And I think what people are going to see from me is a sense of urgency on the top issues that matter to Oregonians and me being in their communities helping them out.
Tina Kotek, candidate for governor of Oregon, thanks for being on today.
Kyle, I really appreciate you. And everybody, thank you for being so engaged. And don't forget to turn in your ballot.
1256 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.